When wishes were horses and beggars could ride, in a stone castle by the sea there lived a rich lad.
What am I supposed to choose? There are so many.
And so he left the trail, and he followed the sound of the music.
I am the goat from the hills and the mountains. And when I have finished eating these herbs and these vegetables, then I shall eat you, too.
Once upon a time, and welcome to the Story Story Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Ann Harding, and I have some stories for you. This is a podcast to hear traditional stories told by some of the best storytellers in the world. It will take you to long ago and far away and will bring you back safely. That little boy was back beside the river. You know, the one from the episode, Gifts of the Forest, who listened to the rocks? This time, he had lined up at least a dozen on the low wall near the stream. He was going down the row, and it looked like he was petting them while gently shushing them. I quietly approached and smiled. Evidently, it was the right thing to do, as when he looked up, he smiled as well and said in a quiet voice, "They're sleeping, and I can hear them dreaming." Many times the stories that are sent to the podcast are shorter. For this episode, so close to the first day of spring, I bring you a small bouquet of stories. Now this section you'll hear two storytellers. The first teller is Ann Shimajima, a third generation Japanese American born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. The story she's telling for this episode is a Japanese folktale from her CD Sakura Tales, Stories from Japan, called Iso's Head. The second teller is Antonio Rocha, a native of Brazil who began his career in the performing arts in 1985. He has a unique fusion of mime and spoken words and has performed from Singapore to South Africa and many other places, including 16 countries on 6 continents. You'll hear him after Ann Shimajima telling The Rock.
Once in Japan, there was a samurai warrior named Ito. He was strong, brave, and most of all, determined. One day, Ito was walking home through the forest when all of a sudden 3 bandits jumped upon him. Ito fought back bravely, but one of the bandits took his long sword and whacked off Ito's head. Then the bandits ran off. Now, Ito was not about to let something like this stop him. He got down on his hands and knees and felt around for his head, which had rolled under a bush. He picked up the head, put it under his arm with the eyes facing out, and he walked home. When he walked into his house, his wife took one look and started to scream, "Doshtano, doshtano!" Ito said, "Don't just stand there and scream. Do something useful. Go get the doctor." She ran to get the doctor. The doctor came as quickly as he could, and when he saw Ito, his mouth dropped open. He said, "Does it hurt?" "No," said Ito. "Strangely enough, it does not hurt at all." "Well," said the doctor, "we have to do something. You can't walk around like this. You'll scare small children." So the doctor mixed up a paste of healing herbs. Very carefully, he spread the paste on Ito's neck, the stump. Then he put on the head just right. He took a long length of cloth and wound it around the neck. He helped Ito into a large empty barrel large enough to hold a man. He filled the barrel with raw rice all the way up to Ito's forehead. He said, "Don't move until I return," and he left. 3 days later, the doctor came back. He brushed aside the rice from around Ito's head. He said, "Ito, how are you feeling?" "Not bad. Not bad at all. May I come out now?" "No, I don't think you're ready yet." The doctor put the rice back. 3 days later, the doctor returned. He brushed aside the rice. "Ito, how are you feeling?" "Pretty good. Really, I can't complain. May I come out now?" "No, not yet." 3 days later, the doctor came back. He brushed aside the rice. "So, how are you feeling?" "Oh, I feel terrible. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I ache all over. May I come out now, please?" "Yes, Ito, I think you are ready." The doctor helped Ito out of the barrel. Ito felt his head. He was healed. Now it is said that the warriors of today are nothing like the samurai of long ago. Well, let me tell you, neither are the doctors.
The Rock Once there was a very large rock that lived on the top of a very high mountain. The mountain was so high that the rock was above the clouds and rarely could see the world below. This rock had been left there many years past by an old ice called Glacier. The rock felt very lonely up there. There is not much around. The clouds didn't talk to it because they were always resting whenever they stopped by. The mountain was too busy with the world below the clouds. There was also the sun, but it was so far away. The wind, well, it was just too loud and always in a hurry whenever it came by. This rock was really alone and sad. The rock had a wish, though. It wished to go to the world beneath the clouds because on the rare days that it was not cloudy, the rock could see a lot going on down there. It could see the farmlands, houses, rivers, streams, trees, the grassy coast below, and the sea. The rock really wanted to move down there, but it was stuck. As you know, rocks don't move by themselves. Until one day the earth shook. It shook so hard, it shook so hard that everything moved around. And so did the rock. The rock started to roll downhill. Oh my goodness, thought the rock, this is my chance. I'm going down this mountain. I love this. Well, the rock got a bit dizzy with the rolling around, but it was kind of fun though. So it rolled and rolled over streams, through farmlands, on roads, over fences, until it stopped on the grassy coast below. The rock got very tired from the rolling around, and it slept for a long time. Then it was awakened by an old sound, the sound of the waves. The voice of the sea. The sea had many stories to tell. There were tales of adventures, storms, long sea voyages, stories about the fish, dolphins, sharks, whales, mermaids, sunken ships, and treasures. The rock enjoyed the stories so much, they were really interesting. There are also people along the grassy coast who love to climb rock, so they could sunbathe, fish, and dive off of it into the deep blue sea. They were interesting to watch, these people, thought Rock. The Rock loved life by the sea. It was never boring or lonely. The years went by, and the kids that once came to play and climb Rock were now being brought by their own kids. There are also ticklish creatures living on the part of rock that was under the sea. They were sort of green and with colorful animals that opened and closed. The rock also had noticed that it was much smaller now, but it didn't know why. So the sea explained to rock that the reason why he had gotten smaller was called erosion, one of the sea's many ways. And one day, erosion was going to get the rock small enough, it would be completely covered by the sea during the high tide and part covered during the low tide. Wow, thought Rock. When that time came, he was Rock's happiest. For during the low tide, he could see mountain, the gulls, people would still come and visit it. Then, during the high tide, Rock was all covered by her friend the sea and completely surrounded by fish, seals, crabs, and seaweeds. Then Rock thought to itself, When I was big, I felt very lonely up there on top of mountain. Now, I'm not so big anymore, but look, I have friends for life. So, the sea kept on telling stories and changing rock along the years. There are rocks that had even become the sand you play on the beach today. Next time you go to the shore, try and listen to the tales of the sea. Ah, and you might see rock as well.
Today's fairy tale sponsor is Sisyphus Quarry for all your rock needs. Put your project to bed. Rock bed, that is. Repentant Greek King will bring the perfect rocks to your home for foundations, walls, or stone cabins. We'll move more than rocks for you, from giant boulders to small river rocks for your stream or pathway. Sisyphus shoulders it all in his stride. Don't try to move the mountain when Sisyphus can do it for you. Sisyphus Quarry for all your rock needs. Did you know that all the patrons of the podcast have the unique ability to eat huge meals, but still have room for dessert, and they're patrons of the arts? You can too, for as little as $4 a month. A big thank you to all the patrons who make this podcast possible. If you want to hear me make up fairy tale facts about you, then maybe you should become a supporter too. It would be pretty cool. I looked at the stones lined up along the wall. There was a gray one with white speckles. I pointed at it and whispered, "What's this one dreaming about?" The little boy smiled. "This one is singing in his dreams. He hums like pebbles being tumbled in a stream." "And this one?" I asked, pointing at an orange and lumpy one. "This one is dreaming of being in a child's pocket. Scraps of bubblegum wrappers, a tiny sword that comes in drinks, a piece of string, and a tangle of headphones." The boy continued, pointing at one that was flat and long. "This one is my favorite, though. It dreams of skipping across the pond, feeling fingers wrapped around it, the way it'll spin and bounce off the surface of the water over and over before sinking through the water and startling fishes. I think I'll take it home to my dad, who's very good at skipping rocks." And as the afternoon light waned, I learned about the imaginative and interesting dreams of rocks. For the second part of this episode, we have storyteller Caleb Weinbrenner. He's also a poet, clown, and educator whose mission in life is to guide our discovery of lost humanness. He holds a BA in linguistics, an MA in educational theater, and a certificate in transformative language arts. The son of innkeepers, hospitality, and community are central to what he does. He'll be telling the story Treasure in the Field. The second teller you'll hear is Denise Bennett. She tells stories, sings, and plays the harp for audiences of preschoolers to centenarians. Denise did win the coveted Golden Shovel in the Virginia Mountains McLyre Contest in 2015. She sent quite a few pieces to the podcast about Nasruddin, and since I couldn't fit them all into the episode last month, here she is again telling the story, Nasruddin Plays the Violin.
Once there was a farmer who had three sons. Three very lazy sons. You see, this farmer was very wealthy because of all of his hard work. Each season his harvests would bring in more wealth for his family, and he was glad for this. But his boys, they would do nothing. And he would ask them, "My sons, why don't you work?" They would say, "Isn't that why we have servants, father? Don't worry about it. We'll be fine." And it went on for years like this, and the father was very sad. One day he knew that his time was almost done. He was on his deathbed, so he called his sons to him. "Boys, I don't have much longer, but I've remembered. I know how much you like the money I've earned, and so I hid the rest of my treasure out there in the fields. It's hidden And with that, he died. He never could tell them where exactly. Dad? Dad? Dad, where did you hide it? But it was too late. After observing the right period of mourning, the boys realized that it was awfully quiet around the farm, and they might even run out of money. So one of them had an idea. You know, Dad said he buried that treasure somewhere in one of the fields. I bet we could dig up and find it. It would take a while, but we would find it. And they agreed this was a good idea, and so they did. And having dug every square foot of those fields, they found nothing. But the second brother piped in. It was his turn for an idea. You know, since we've dug, we could plant, and then when the time comes, we can look again in the fields. And so they planted. And they waited for the crops to grow, and my, they came in wonderfully that year. And then, when the time came, they harvested, so that they could look again in the fields for the treasure, of course. But the third brother had an idea. We have harvested, after all. We might as well sell it at the market. And so they took all of those harvests to the market, and they found that with their father's name came his reputation for quality goods. And yes, they made a fortune at the market that day. As they were walking home, bags of money in their hands, they thought of it. There was treasure in that field after all. They just had to work for it.
Nasruddin had gone to the city, and there he bought a violin. He brought it home, and he began to play. Same note, same string, over and over and over again. After a few hours of this, his wife was at her wit's end. Nasruddin put down the bow. Yes, dear. Why do you play the same note over and over like that? It's driving me crazy. All the real violin players move their fingers up and down. They play on different strings. Why don't you play like they do? Well, my dear, I know why they go up and down and try out all those different strings. Why, she said. Because they are looking for this note. And he picked up his bow and he resumed his playing.
Thank you for listening to the Story Story Podcast. Show the love. Find Anne Shimajima, Joel Ben-Izzy, Caleb Weinbrenner, and Denise Bennett on the internet. Tell them you heard them on the podcast and now want to hear them tell more stories. You can find me and the podcast on Facebook and Instagram at Story Story Podcast or Rachel Ann Harding. The beautiful brains behind the fairy tale sponsor is Mark Goldman. The inspiration for the true fairy tale was a story seed from Laura Packer. You can find her lovely story and writing prompts by looking her up on social media. Check out the ads for the fairy tale sponsors and let me know the favorite story you have heard or the favorite stories of your childhood. Who knows? Maybe you'll hear them here soon.
This podcast is made possible by patrons like you. If you'd like to become a supporter of the podcast or discover sponsorship opportunities, you can find links on storystorypodcast.com. If it isn't in the cards to support the podcast right now, no worries. Perhaps you'd be willing to go write a review on iTunes, which helps other story lovers find and enjoy the podcast. Head over to the website and join the mailing list for hidden goodies. And if you tune in, you will hear more stories next week. But until then, live happily ever after.
Mary-Kate opened up the door, and there, on the doorstep, wrapped in his own blanket, was her baby.
And to this day, Anansi spins webs so that he can catch the flea, the fly, and the moth that got away.
If you go down to the lake on a clear day, when the water lies as calm as a sheet of glass, you can still see the rooftops of the castle glittering in the sunlight. And if you listen really closely, you can even hear the festive music from the royal court.